Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Ashley et al. Titled, Epithelial Sodium Channel Differentially Contributes to Shear Stress-Mediated Vascular Responsiveness in Carotid and Mesenteric Arteries from Mice. This article was published May 1st, 2018. Joining me today are Associate Editor Robert Hester, Lead Author Martin Fronius, and Content Expert Heather Drummond. Let's get started.
Thank you for joining us today. Martin, could you give us a brief synopsis of what your hypothesis was for this study and what the results demonstrated?
The idea behind the study was to look if ENaC is a shear sensor in arteries. So from the literature, it has been known that ENaC is activated by shear stress. Now, to me, what was the elephant in the room is, if this is the case, what would be the main physiological function of this response? And of course, that would be something that would be relevant in the kidney, where ENaC is usually expressed. But in the last few years, there was growing evidence that ENaC is also expressed in endothelium or in endothelial cells. And therefore, I was interested whether this change in the open probability can be observed in arteries. We're interested to see if shear stress in arteries actually does change ENaC activity, and this would contribute to the downstream effect and the regulation of the vascular tone. And we decided to do some studies on carotid arteries, which are relatively large arteries and are supposed to be conduit arteries, and one other artery type that would be resistance arteries. And we decided to use third-order mesenteric arteries from mice. So using now these arteries, we did some experiments in pressure myography, where we perfused the lumen of the arteries to basically mimic or to simulate shear stress, and then observed how the arteries reacted in response to that shear stress. And we found that both types of arteries were reacting, so we observed changes. These changes in the vascular diameter, that is the main parameter that we recorded, that was influenced by amiloride. So with amiloride, that is a very common inhibitor of ENaC, we could show that part of that response in arteries is really mediated through ENaC. And the main finding is that in large and conduit arteries, we observed a dilation when ENaC was blocked, whereas in mesenteric arteries, blocking ENaC resulted in a vasoconstriction. So the arteries, the lumen of the arteries became smaller. So that's the main findings of our study.
So Martin, you observed a differential response in the carotid and the mesenterics to the importance of ENaC in shear stress dilation response. Do you think that this difference is due to the vessel size itself, or do you think it's due to perhaps its function as conduit versus potentially resistant vessel?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I wish I would have the answer to that question. I think it's just the nature of the artery. I think the arteries have different physiological functions, and that means, in according to that, of course, they have a different architecture. But this might be also something that affects the endothelial cells itself. So I would expect that an endothelial cell in a carotid artery has probably different proteins and different signaling cascades activated compared to an endothelial cell in the mesenteric artery. This is how I would try to explain the differences that we observe. I think having a shear sensor in the membrane that is able to really detect the flow passing the surface of the endothelium, I'm speaking about the endothelial cell in a carotid artery versus an endothelial cell in a mesenteric artery. So I think both endothelial cells would have shear sensor, and this shear sensor could be ENaC. But I think whatever happens downstream of that shear sensing, that really depends on some signaling cascades and potentially also, you know, how signaling cascades are being put together in that cell. And the connection to further downstream effectors is probably different. And that could explain why, you know, the same channel in one cell or in a carotid artery induces a different reaction compared to the same channel sitting in the endothelial cell in another artery that has different anatomy, but also, of course, different function.
Looking at your figure 3E, it was concerned about, do the mesenteric vessels have sort of minimal tone?
it's a good comment. I think, you know, what we see in that figure is that there is actually very little tone in those mesenteric arteries. And that could be something that may contribute to the effects that we see with flow. So this is what I think would be important probably to check and to do the experiment, to use a similar preparation, mesenteric arteries, but pre-constrict them with phenylephrine and then redo the experiment and see how flow or shear stress changes the reaction of the arteries under those conditions. So I think that would be a very important experiment for the future.
So Martin, we've sort of talked about how ENaC could act as a strain sensor and mediate pressure-induced constriction in smooth muscle cells and act as a shear stress sensor in endothelial cells. So how do you think it is able to impart modal specificity to these different signaling pathways?
When it comes to differentiating the response that ENaC may initiate or may contribute to in endothelial cells, that would be more a response to shear stress in comparison to the response in the smooth muscle cells. I would say this can depend on the architecture of the channel itself. So it really can be that the channel that we find in endothelial cells can have a different stoichiometry compared to the channels in the vascular smooth muscle cells. And talking about stoichiometry, I mean in particular a different subunit composition. So the channels in the endothelium can be, for example, alpha, beta, gamma channels, but in vascular smooth muscle cells, it may not be alpha, beta, gamma. So it may not be a channel formed by alpha, beta, and gamma subunits, but rather beta, gamma with another ion channel. And I think a very, very good candidate or very good candidates for these kind of role would be the acid sensing ion channels. So I think at the moment we do not really know the structure and the composition of the channels that we are investigating or that we are finding in the tissue. But I think this is also a very important aspect of future research to try to identify the composition of the channels in each cell type. So what is the architecture of the channel in the endothelium compared to the architecture of the functional channel in the vascular smooth muscle cell? I think there are differences when it comes to these kind of things. Another aspect that that we are focusing at the moment in my laboratory is to identify the role of the extracellular matrix for the shear sensing or for mechanical activation of the channels. In arteries, it's clear that the matrix of the endothelium or of the endothelial cell, in particular the luminal matrix of the endothelial cell, that has a totally different composition compared to the extracellular matrix that embeds the vascular smooth muscle cells. So I think there are two components that should be considered when it comes to differentiating the function of ENaC in endothelial cells versus the function in vascular smooth muscle cells. And this is the architecture of the channel, so the subunit composition of the channel. And the second aspect, that would be the extracellular matrix, and in particular the composition of the extracellular matrix, because there are differences between the matrix covering the endothelium and embedding the smooth muscle cells.
So, Martin, I totally agree with you that subunit composition as well as extracellular matrix tethering proteins are important in imparting modal specificity to ENaC, whether it's acting as a shear stress sensor or a strain sensor. But I also think it goes a little bit further that in addition to the matrix and the subunit composition, that intracellular partners are also going to be important in determining the signaling response as well. Some of these other major players involved, such as TRP channels and integrins and G protein coupled receptors that are very important, at least in sensing strain or transducing the strain signal in smooth muscle cells, that those are going to be very important in transducing the signal and evoking the end result.
Heather, I just want to comment on that because I totally agree on your explanation. I think it's very important to highlight that ENaC proteins, ENaC channels are very important or are important mechanosensors, but they are probably not the only mechanosensors. And from my perspective, I think, you know, even the shear sensing, it must involve different proteins in the membrane of the endothelial cell, And this is probably also the case in the vascular smooth muscle cells.
Martin, could you give us a little idea about future directions and where you plan on going with this particular work?
Thanks, Robert. That's a very interesting question. And I think there are plenty of opportunities to focus on in the future. What we are trying to do is we try to identify how the channels are being somehow, or if and how the channels are anchored or connected to the extracellular matrix. So that's one aspect that we do and we try to find out. Another aspect is really focusing a little bit more on the subunit composition of the channels in arteries. And this is particularly important because in humans, we have different subunits compared to what we have in mice and rats. So in humans, there is delta ENaC expressed, and from some studies that we just started a few weeks ago, we know that delta is expressed in human endothelial cells. And delta is a very interesting subunit when it comes to ENaC, because delta channels, or channels containing the delta subunit, do not respond to shear stress. And what I think, or what I would like to identify, is to see if patients with hypertension, if they have different, or, you know, the expression profile of ENaC subunits is different in these patients, because what we know is that arteries from diseased animals or diseased patients with cardiovascular diseases don't react to shear stress anymore. So that lack of response to shear stress can be used as a diagnostic tool. And one reason how, or that can contribute to this effect, that could be an elevated expression of delta ENaC in humans, because that subunit will prevent any further effects by shear stress. So when we don't see any shear stress effects in diseased arteries, that can be due to a change of the subunit composition, or it can be due to changes of the extracellular matrix that is being needed probably to facilitate the shear response. So this would be very interesting areas for future research and some aspects that we try to target in the next couple of years. And it's going to be very exciting to see what we will find out.
Thank you very much, Martin and Heather, for participating in this podcast today. I would encourage our listeners to go to American Journal of Physiology, Heart and Circulatory Physiology, and look at the article for more details. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology podcast. For more podcasts like this one, visit us online at physiology.org/journal/AJP Heart. Thank you.